and welcome to Big Gay Energy. I'm Bree.
I'm Theora.
And I'm Caitlin.
Come along with us while we dive into the fun and nuances of queer media. Representation matters, and we're here to talk about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Cheers, queers! What's on the big gay agenda today, Theora? Tell us the truth.
Well, Caitlin, I'll tell you the truth of it all today. Today, we are not being dared to do Heartstopper Season 2, Episode 6, Truth Slash Dare.
But I did dare myself to get apple juice for this episode.
Oh, that's so cute! Did you have to fight somebody at the convenience store to get the last
I should
one?
Have actually, I got it from DoorDash, so I should have.
So maybe your DoorDash driver had to fight somebody. You'll never know.
Sponsored by
maybe
Wawa.
Maybe they had a meet cute.
Not actually sponsored, but I would love that. Before we begin, there's an announcement that we did last time, so you should be used to this by now. Short as possible. Ready? If you are listening, make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you can leave a review, because I really don't know. If you are watching on YouTube, please like this video, comment your thoughts below, and click the share button to help even more people see our content. You can also join our Patreon, where you can get full reaction videos and free episodes. Oh, and ad-free episodes. I was like, wait a minute.
We don't have free episodes that we're aware of. We make them for free.
All of these things will help us to continue making more content. Thank you in advance.
Yeah. And hopefully you got Caitlin's word spelled for last time.
Yes. I will have to think about a word while we do this whole thing. So, because I forgot about it.
All right. So, if you like puzzles and challenges, stay till the end of the episode where Caitlin's got a fun little trick for you. Well, I guess brain teaser. But let's get into the episode, shall we?
Yes. We are going to begin this episode meeting Nick's father.
Finally.
Because like, we've been dying to, right?
Bated breath. We've been waiting. It's more like Nick's been waiting.
Yes. Poor Nick.
Poor Nick.
So Nick and Charlie are traveling to meet Nick's father, and I'm amazed that he was already there when they got there.
I know. Basically, they didn't get stood up immediately.
Yeah, I'm like expecting them to wait like a half hour.
I know, right? Anyway, yeah. So he's amazingly there. But more importantly, this is like, it opens like a continuation from the last episode where they ran out of the museum. And then jumped on the subway, and then they got off the subway, and they're, like, running to this cafe while they were still holding hands, which means they held hands all the way from, like, the Louvre to this cafe, and they, like, let go only before they saw Nick's dad, because Nick's not out yet, and I love that for them. That's really cute.
It's a lot of hand-holding.
It's a lot of hand-holding, but, you know, that's a lot of hand-holding out in public, which is big for them.
Yes, that's
true. So I just
need
to point that out, because be gay, hold hands.
Be gay, hold hands.
All right. And so then we finally see Nick's dad. And like, this is the part of the episode where I screamed because the actor that plays Nick's dad is familiar to me. So if anyone out there's ever seen a show called Call My Agent, it's like this French show that's about basically like talent agents and like their actors and all the stuff they get into.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yes. And it stars Camille Cotin, who was in Killing Eve. And when Killing Eve ended, I was real sad, so I wouldn't watch that because she plays a lesbian in this. And it's great.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. And Nick's dad, the actor played Matthias, which is one of the main guys on the show, but also really funny because he's a shit dad in that show too. So like, is this, he's getting typecast for this? I don't really know.
Do we need to ask questions?
We probably do. But yeah, so go check that show out. It's actually really fun. It's in French, but it's amazing. Like, it's really, really great. And if subtitles aren't your thing, Amazon created an English version called 10%, because that's like the agent's fee, the 10%. And for the sapphics out there, it stars Lydia Leonard, who played Mariana Lawton in Gentleman Jacks, which was a lesbian. So it's all queer and it's all good. So check those two shows out.
Theor is creating a web to get you to watch everything based on lesbians.
I'm just letting the people know we have more content than we ever had before. And if you're looking for new content about some shenanigans, check those two out. They're real good.
I want to now. Okay.
They're good. I love Call My Agent's really fun. Although, like, I have issues with the lesbians plotline and where it ends up going.
That sounds like an episode.
I mean, it can be. I think it should be. I loved Call My Agent. That was real good. Anywho, back to Nick and Charlie. So Nick and Charlie, before they approach the dad, because so they have to, like, untangle their hands because they're like, well, Nick's not out yet because, I mean, his dad won't even pick up his phone calls. So, like, obviously he's not out to his dad yet. But before they go in, Charlie, being all self-conscious and self-aware of the situation, asks Nick, after running hand-in-hand with him from the Louvre onto a subway to this cafe, asks Nick, should I wait somewhere else? So, Charlie. And Nick is like, no, like very firmly, like, no, I want you with me. And like, I feel like Charlie really just, he just needed to hear it. Even though they just ran through Paris together to meet Nick's dad, he's still like, I don't want to get you in trouble with your dad kind of thing. Like, it's real sad that that's where his brain goes immediately when they get there. But you gotta love Nick for being like, no, I literally dragged you here from the Louvre. I want you. I need you here. I love that he says that.
Well, Charlie just needs like constant
affirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I relate to that.
That might be his love language.
But also, like, he's been through some shit. Like,
no, totally.
His mom seems cold.
Yeah, in general. I agree with that.
He needs more love, and that's what Nick is there for.
Yeah, he's traumatized, for sure.
Nick and Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie needs a dog. So they approach the dad, and they're doing, like, pleasantries, and it gets awkward real quick because Nick has to introduce Charlie. And, like, it's an opportunity for him to be like, this is my boyfriend. But he, like, hesitates for just a second too long before words can come out of his mouth. And Charlie jumps in immediately, and he's like, I'm Charlie. I'm just Charlie.
I'm just Charlie.
And, like, poor Nick. Like, it's the whole purpose of this is he, like, wants to see his dad, yes. But, two, he's like, I want to do this in person and, like, tell him something real about my life, because as we come to see in the scene, like, the bitch don't know nothing about a son. So, but poor Nick, he's like not off to a good start, like immediately with this call coming out thing. So, and kudos to Charlie, who like really puts on a brave face for this like doomed cafe meeting. Like, he shakes Nick's dad's hand, he's like very quiet, like attentive, he like jumps in on all the right moments, and
like he knows
he's trying to be really supportive.
He has to be like Nick's
support system.
Yeah. There's another word I was going to use, but rock. He has to be the rock.
Yeah, totally. And he does. Like, so he enters this whole thing with being like, should I not even be here? And then, yeah, he ends up being like,
he's like, okay, you need me. I'm going to get you through this.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes into protective boyfriend mode, essentially. Like, stealthy, though, because the dad don't know. And after the slightly awkward introductions that happen, this is my favorite part. I have to point this out now. Nick's dad orders two coffees for them. Just put a pin on that. He orders two coffees, and then they all sit down.
Just, that's it. That's all Theora's going to give you right now.
Put a pin in that.
But Nick's dad, he irked me from the very beginning. I mean, from before you even meet him. But he puts everything on Nick. That saying that he never visits him anymore and tells Charlie that Nick used to visit every summer when he was little. But then he didn't invite him this summer because I'm assuming that it's a stepmom, I think.
We don't know. His girlfriend, lady. Okay.
The person, she's getting a new kitchen. So Nick can't come over, which is the weirdest excuse ever.
The excuse is like, well, there's construction on the house, so you can't be here. Even though it's one room that you don't sleep in. So it's like, the dad is making excuses for his bad behavior. That's what he's doing. He's gaslighting Nick to be like, oh, you know, it's kind of your fault, you know, come around. Even though, like, I don't answer your calls, and I don't invite you over anymore. But it's somehow Nick's fault.
I just want to squeeze his head.
Yeah, he's a really bad parent. This is like, not everybody should be a parent, you know? Just because you can be a parent doesn't mean you should. Here's your example. So after the casual guilt that Nick's dad lays on him, he asks immediately, he's like, so Nick, are you graduating soon? And Nick's like, no, I still got a few years left. So he doesn't even know how old his son is. It's like, there's this trend on TikTok going on right now of just like these interviews of all these dads being like, do you know when your child's birthday is? And they're like, I don't know. And then he's like, oh, it was yesterday. Like, the men don't know anything about their kids. Like, this is like your classic dude who doesn't know anything about his kids.
When I was little, I gave my dad a quiz to see how much he knew about me because I was just like, I feel like you don't know enough. But when, I think it was either last year or the year before, I got a message 3 days after my birthday. Or it was three or five, and it was just like, happy birthday. I'm like, thanks, it's not my birthday. He's like, when wow. was it? I'm like, last Friday. But he likes to get my birthday, not likes to. He gets my birthday confused with his anniversary with my mom. Because that's what they know. They're divorced since I was three, but they know their anniversary.
Sorry, Caitlin.
He'll probably watch this too at some point. Hi, Dad.
What's her birthday? Answer in the comments.
The year.
Anyway.
The year. What's the year? Okay. So Nick's dad is obviously doesn't care enough to keep up with his son.
Yes.
I feel like no, because I don't think he cares at all about his both children, actually.
No, not at all.
But even less about Nick. So Nick says he would like to meet his dad's new woman because, I mean, if there's someone else in his dad's life, he wants to be a part of his dad's life so bad. He's like, I'm willing to meet this woman that's not Olivia Colman. Like, how could you go from someone from Olivia Colman to someone else?
Why did Olivia Colman pick this man? That's the part of this I don't understand. Like, how did that even happen? Like, this man is trash. Like,
heat of the moment.
He could do so much better.
And then she was stuck. And then she was like, you know what? I'm Olivia Colman. I'm going to get out of this shit.
I mean, no, man. But she doesn't. She raised Nick beautifully on his own.
Yes.
On her own, sorry.
Oh, yeah. But his dad brushes it off when he says that. Like, I feel like you would want your kid to want to meet someone new in your life.
I mean, if you cared about your kid, sure. But when you are actively trying not to see your child, then this behavior makes sense.
It seems like the dad is keeping, like, two different lives in, like, different Barely. Countries.
Yeah.
It's like, you he stay there, and I'll stay here.
It's like a status thing. It's like, I have sons, but then he doesn't know anything about them. Yeah, so bottom line, his dad is not super into this idea that Nick has. But it's really sad because Nick's face lights up when he suggests this. He's like, oh, I would love to meet her. And it's like, it's really sad that like his dad just is super dismissive of Nick, period. And like doesn't pick up on any of the cues this boy's put out there.
I just really want to hug Nick at this point.
Yeah.
But the dad tries to get to know Nick. Big, wow. Okay, he asked one question. How is the trip going? I think something like that.
And yeah, then like, his, been in Paris.
Then his phone rings. And of course, no hesitation whatsoever. He gets up as he's looking at the phone and answers it without a second thought. And what a surprise. He has to leave right away.
Truly, though, Nick does not seem surprised by this at all. He just seems, like, disappointed by it.
But there is hope, kind of, if you think this is hopeful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Ben's last name.
Yep.
Nick's dad does tell him that he will be in England next week, so.
There you have it. And Nick jumps at this opportunity because he's like, cool, you're going to be in my neck of the woods? Great. We should have a family dinner. And cute idea, Nick, but how dare you volunteer Olivia Colman's time and energy to make dinner for this man? But, like, alas. Like, I think Nick sees the good in everybody, except Ben.
And David.
Oh, yeah, David. True.
But, of course, the dad can't leave without talking to... Oh, my God, I almost said Ben. talking to Nick about girls. Because that's the only thing you know to talk about, right?
He only knows rugby and I have a boy. And that's it. It ends there. But ultimately, the good, I guess, goodish part is that the dad seems to have been happy to have met Charlie, one of Nick's quote-unquote friends. And, like, he says friend. And, like, strike three again for Nick for, like, losing all of the chances to, like, come out to his dad during this little interaction. And he just looks kind of like... devastated. Hey, I already asked this question to you, Caitlin, so we'll skip that. Okay. Before the dad bounces, he leaves money on the table. And I hope this is covering the cost for those two coffees that never arrived. So, like, in the time, the whole conversation lasts less time than it took some dude to make than it took the cafe to, like, make the two coffees and deliver it. Are Nick and Charlie getting their coffee that they didn't want, that he ordered for them, is my question. Because, like, he ordered it, and he's like, cool. They sit down, this whole interaction happens, and those coffees never showed up. So this is a really short interaction.
Well, maybe it just turns into a date for the both of them.
Do they even drink coffee? I don't even know. This is a dad's idea to get the coffee.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because they probably drink tea. Because of
it's just, it's Olivia more like assumptions from the dad of like what they wanted. He's like, yeah, let's just get you guys this. Not, does Nick drink coffee? Does he even know that?
They actually prefer milkshakes.
I know. They're children. Why are you ordering them fucking coffee? It's a cultural thing. I get that. But like, it seems like, again, the dad did not, he just assumed a bunch of stuff about Nick in this interaction. Like, it's very clear. He doesn't even know him. Like, we've never seen Nick drink coffee ever. He drinks tea. Why was he ordering this for his son? And it never came. So there's that. Because I was worried. I'm like, are Nick and Charlie going to have to pay for these coffees they didn't order?
Because they should have judged just, I mean, this is probably wrong because they already ordered it. But they should have just taken the money and left. Be like, thanks, Dad. Lunch is on you.
Right.
I didn't know that he actually put money down. I didn't see it.
He just puts, like, but, like, he already had a coffee. So I'm like, is that your coffee you're covering? Are you covering their coffees that you ordered for them? What is this? Questions I need answered.
He better have paid.
I hope so.
Like, they're in high school. Whatever. They're, it's not
the equivalent of high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Young high school.
But Nick is upset with himself because he is so upset that he didn't tell his dad that, Charlie is his boyfriend, and it's just like another thing added, like, oh, I was supposed to come out already and I've been failing every single time I try to come out to somebody. And I just feel like his dad didn't really give him the opportunity anyway, because his dad doesn't shut up about his own life though.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but I feel like, Nick, there's another layer to this particular conversation versus, like, the Paris trip being the deadline. It's like, this was Nick's idea. Like, Nick tried to orchestrate this particular meeting with his dad with the intention of doing that. And so I think he's doubly disappointed here because he was like, man, this was all my idea, you know, and I still can't do it. And it was one person, and it went really well with my mom. And, like, granted, his dad and his mom are not the same when it comes to their relationships with him. And it's very, and the sad part in this whole scene is when Nick like really expresses that to Charlie, and he says about his dad, he's like, he doesn't know me. He knows I like rugby, and that's it. And like, what a heartbreaking realization for a child to make about their parents. So really in that context, it's no wonder that like Nick doesn't come out. Like, why would you come out to this person? It's like coming out to a stranger, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know this is ahead of ourselves, but Olivia Colman later is just like really smart and says, you don't owe him anything.
That scene is so good. Yeah.
I
love that scene.
Wait till we get to that episode.
The way she handles the dad is just, it's so good. It's sad, but like, realistic.
Notice the change between us talking about season one to season two. Olivia Colman has no. Theora has me on the Olivia Colman train.
Caitlin knows who she is now. That's my goal with this podcast.
I know her quite well now. But from here, we go back to the hotel for one of the scenes that I actually really love. Like, this is just
There's a lot of cute scenes in this episode.
So Nick, Charlie, and Isaac are sitting on the bed together. And then Isaac is in the middle, I believe, and he's holding his book, and you see, and they're all just searching for Waldo,
because
that's the book that he can share with them.
He must have got it when they're at the bookstore, and that's really cute, because it's a game they can all play, but it's still a book. Yeah. It's a way for all his friends to get in on
his
hobby. And
Isaac's probably so happy, like, yeah, we're all sitting around a book.
Exactly. It's cute.
It's just, oh, it's so sweet. It's very cute. And Isaac is so happy.
He is. Also, it's like, have you guys not found it yet? What the hell? What's taking you so long?
He's probably just opening it. He's like, oh, there he is. And then he's just like, you guys see it?
You guys done?
You see it? Oh my gosh. And then Tao comes running into the room and tells them that he kissed Elle. Which he didn't. But I feel like he did say that.
He said, me and Elle kissed. And
then he
goes through it the right way, like a good boyfriend, or not boyfriend yet. But he's like, she kissed me first, then I kissed her second. So I like that he clarifies that, because misogynistic men would be like, yeah, I did it, blah, blah, blah. But like, he gives her credit. She's like, she kissed me first, I kissed her second. Good times. So I love
it. It tracks for their relationship.
Mm-hmm. It tracks for Tao. Tao is one of the most people's most secure with himself. Ever. Like, he's great. So is Elle. That's why I love the two of them so much.
But also, I feel like Tao is so nervous in the relationship, like, that Elle needs to make the first move no matter what.
Well, yeah, obviously. Like, that was the only way that was going to go down. Yeah. That was the only way it was going to happen. Let's be real.
Meanwhile, the girls are in their room having the same exact conversation again. And
they really like doing the Grease thing.
They do.
With Tao and Elle.
Because I was like trying so hard not to bring it up again, Theora.
I know, but I was like, it's more obvious in this too. I'm like, they're literally having the same conversation. Like doing the play by play.
Yeah, like they finish the sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I. It's just all Grease in my head.
Yeah.
But where am I? Wow, there is a lot of screaming.
So much screaming. But, like, this is the conversation you scream over, though. Because fucking finally.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And,
Tree love.
Sorry, I need to hydrate for Lesbian Jesus for that moment.
Okay, I'll get my apple juice for this moment.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I wish I had apple juice. Cheers, queers. All right. Okay, so while the screaming is happening, we should shoot back to the boys' room. And Nick asks the million-dollar question, which is, are you two dating? To which neither Tao nor Elle has an answer to yet. They're like, listen, one thing at a time. We're kissing. We're kissing now. We're on that level.
Which, I mean, I don't understand relationships, but I feel you just, like, assume that these people are dating at that point.
No. Like, you never assume. You gotta ask.
Yeah, I have, learn that through reading.
Yeah.
Never fiction too.
Oh my god. But so like that's what's on everybody's mind. And they're like, I guess the two groups are like, well, you guys need to talk. You need to talk. You need to talk. What does Charlie do?
Charlie texts the girls that they should all go explore the hotel. Which I thought they were actually exploring the hotel.
You're so literal.
I am. Oh my gosh, I am. It's an issue. Which the girls immediately agree to, because of course.
I mean, like, who are the girls in this room? Tara, Darcy. Darcy's like, yay, mischief. Like, even if this wasn't a quest to get them, you know, Elle and Tao together, she would be down for this.
They just, like, you would start a question with Darcy, and she'll just go, yes. Let's go.
Right, exactly.
Where are we going?
Okay. Finish that sentence.
Onward. And it is basically an excuse for the couples to split off and kiss. Thanks, Theora, for telling me that. I would have just actually explored the hotel.
I know. Poor innocent child. Okay, but wait. Before they break off, though, because, like, Tao, like, Elle grabs Tao and they, like, run away. And then the rest of them are, like, hiding. I don't know. They're, like, looking for teachers because they're kind of like, is the coast clear before we do this? Tara mentions, like, really low. She's like, it's my birthday tomorrow. I can do whatever I want. So, Tara's birthday tomorrow. Confirmation.
Yes. That will be important later.
Yes, it will.
Isaac is just standing there sad because he was in the room too. So he's going to explore. But I mean,
but couples are breaking off.
Yeah.
And Isaac's in that weird position of like, I am not a couple. What do I do?
But damn it, Theora.
Sorry, I had Buffy on my brain earlier today. I apologize.
I was editing her episode too, so anyway, Tara just tells him to come with her, and it's just very sweet. I'm sure Darcy wasn't too happy, but you know what? Friends,
I think Darcy's like, explore the hotel. I think she's cool with that. They get to make out whenever they want. They don't need to hide.
I feel like Darcy is like me and is actually exploring the hotel.
Right. Because, like, again, like, Tara and Darcy, like, they're very comfortable with PDA. I don't think they care. So they're not like Nick and Charlie. They're like, it's been 2 days. It's like, no, it's been 3 minutes. Like, they're fine. So Darcy's cool with running around a hotel. But I love that Elle drags him to an abandoned corner. Which, what is this corner of this hotel? It's just like, it's like between rooms, and it's just like a corner with nothing. It's very strange. Like a walled off like square area. It's weird. But anyway, they go into this corner. And the whole purpose of them doing this is so that they can clear up, are we dating? So Tao tries to ask her, and she just cuts him off and starts kissing him, which is really cute. So like the whole purpose of this is like completely destroyed immediately. And then I was like, oh, wait, sorry. What were you saying? And Tao's like, I forgot. He's like, let's make out more. I don't care. Whatever. So it's really cute. I love the way that kind of goes down. Like the whole point of this running out of the room thing is just like immediately abandoned. And they're like, whatever, we'll talk later. Who cares? So it's still a question. Are they dating? We don't know yet.
I mean, let's just take it slow. Meanwhile,
by making out in corners.
Slowly.
Well, Caitlin. Hydrate for lesbian. Jesus, all right.
Meanwhile, Nick
speaking
and
of quarters.
Charlie go to the highest traffic place possible that isn't the lobby. The vending machines, which means, yep, they get caught.
Yeah, no shit.
Nick tries to ask Charlie how he is feeling since he passed out that day. Like, a lot's happened today.
Yeah, big day.
But Charlie turns it back on Nick because he cares more about him and asks how he is feeling about seeing his dad, because Charlie doesn't care about that he passed out. Like, he's like, no, what's going on with you?
Charlie always abdicates his own feelings for Nick. And like, he clearly has like secondhand anxiety because he knew Nick wanted to come out to his dad. Like, Nick has mentioned that multiple times. And he was there, and Nick did not obviously go through with it, even though there were, like, multiple opportunities that were like, come on, Nick, and he's, you know, still didn't do it. So I think that Charlie's just really, like, nervous. He's like, does Nick even want to come out at all? Like, this was something he wanted to do and just didn't do it. So what I find surprising here is that Nick says the quiet part out loud, which is like, he's like, oh, I didn't realize how much me coming out was stressing you out, Charlie. Like, it becomes really evident to Nick in this moment that, like, while Charlie thinks he's trying to, like, make sure Nick's okay, it's becoming really evident to Nick that, like, Charlie's stressed out about him. And that puts the spotlight on Charlie, and which, of course, Charlie doesn't like, so he immediately does a 180, and he's like, well, what I feel doesn't matter. He's like, it's your coming out journey. It doesn't matter. He's like, this is your coming out journey. But Nick ultimately reassures him that, like, it matters to me how you feel. Like, it's disturbing that it doesn't matter to you. But, like, Nick's like, it matters to me. And, like, that's true love, bitch.
I gotta say, that's literally what Theor wrote in the notes. And I busted out laughing when I saw it. Okay, so they once they get caught, and after the teachers tell the boys to go back to their room, they make sure that each other knows the other is gay. Because they are at, I'm sure Theor is going to explain the scene later. But anyway, it's convenient. And they keep flirting, but Farouk doesn't know how to react.
And we find out why. So there's a couple things I learned in this scene. Number one, I finally looked up the other teacher's name. So Nathan is the art teacher. Now I have his name.
Nathan, I keep forgetting to look it up. Sorry, Nathan. I keep wanting to call him Benjamin for some reason.
No, that's Nathan. So after the boys leave, Nathan is like high-key flirting. Where he's like, pretty sure I used to sneak out like that at their age. With a boy. Like, he's, like, making it really obvious to Farouk. He's like, you need to know where, just in case, like, the gay pin I wear all the time wasn't obvious, I'm also gay, not just the safe place for the queers. But it gets really sad because Farouk gives his backstory about why, and it explains why he doesn't know what to do with this, because he admits that he came out later in life, like, in his late 20s, and he's like, well, because I figured my shit out later, I missed out on, quote, the beautiful gay teenage experiences. Like trying to make out next to a public vending machine in a hotel with your teacher staying there on school trips. So, yeah. So, like, which I love this plotline because, yeah, coming out, you can come out whenever. You don't have to be in high school like Nick and Charlie. It can be later in life. But, you know, the sad truth of it is that when you don't figure it out, you do miss out on those, like, younger, you know, relationship kind of like stupid things that you do, kind of like this. Especially people like who are forced into like comp het kind of life. And so you miss out on those typical aspects of young love. So what tends to happen with like, and it's where this plot line is going, which is why I love it. What tends to happen in that case when you come out later and you don't figure your shit out till later, like you end up going through like queer puberty when you do come out and then you do the stupid shit later in life. So I really enjoy that the writers leaned into that, like, reality with these two characters. It's really cute, and it's very important. And, like, Nathan even says, he's like, Mr. Farouk says, like, it's too late for me to have those experiences. And Nathan's like, there isn't an age limit to those, which I love. I think people need to hear that. Give this scene an Emmy.
Give this scene an Emmy.
But I wonder, too, if Nathan knew that Farouk was gay or if he was just like trying to lay it on real thick to be like, is my gaydar right? Because when Farouk kind of like explains that, he's like, yeah, I came out later. Nathan does this little like and this nod where he's like, internally I'm pretty sure he's like, yes, I was right. It's very cute. I love the way they like kind of put this plot line in here and gave Farouk that backstory. I like that a lot.
Farouk seems like, I mean, we see him keep to himself a lot, so
yeah,
this is probably the first time he's ever opening up to another person
potentially. Yeah he deserves love too. They all do.
From here, I guess everyone goes to sleep, because the next day I believe they're at breakfast, and yes, Darcy gives Tara her birthday present, which is a shirt with her face all over it.
It sure is.
And she also apologizes for not being a good girlfriend.
I love Tara's reaction. Okay, so the shirt is like this hot pink shirt, and then it has a ridiculous face that Darcy's doing with her eyes closed, and she's like sticking out her tongue, and it's all over the shirt. So just a ridiculous face of Darcy all over the shirt, giving it to Tara. And Tara's like, thanks, I hate it. And Darcy's like, I knew you would. And I'm pretty sure this t-shirt is paying homage to, like, the graphic novels around Tara's birthday, because they post, there's, like, a panel where they posted Instagram photos, and, like, Tara's Instagram photo is, like, a cute one with, like, Darcy kissing her, and she's, like, I'm the birthday baby. And Darcy replies, hey, this is a bit gay. And Darcy and Tara replies, love this for us. But then the birthday photo that Darcy posts is a fate. It's like this, it's clearly like this candid photo that Tara wasn't anticipating, where she's like, looks real weird. Like she's squinting, she's not smiling. So it almost looks like the same face that Darcy's making on this t-shirt. And Darcy's like, happy birthday to my stunning girlfriend. And Tara wrote, delete this. So I think that like this was a play on that scene.
The rest of it is, but you look so beautiful. And then Tara goes, I will destroy you.
Yeah, and that's basically their relationship. But yeah, I think that's where this came from.
But my favorite thing is the, hey, this is a bit gay.
Yeah. Love that for us.
I need to read these books.
They're cute. I think you would like the books. The other thing we learned from this is that apparently Darcy has big plans for Tara's birthday to make up her behavior.
Ooh la la. Mm-hmm. Wonder what those are.
Wonder.
Okay, so the gang goes back out to explore Paris. They finally left the hallways and their corners of kissing.
Yes.
And they go to a bookstore, and Isaac is just super happy and has a stack of books about the size of him.
Yeah, that was adorable. My question was always, like, how does he have money for this, and how's he going to bring it back? Because, like, did he bring an extra bag just for books? I hope he did. That's a lot of books.
Yeah. Transporting is very interesting. I mean, at least they didn't fly, so.
But still, like, you have to get all those books on the bus back. I just hope he thought it through, that's all. But he looked
He's probably thrilled. Gonna, like, stuff it in everybody's luggage.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Feel like you take three, you take four. Can you, these were pretty thin, so how about six? And then we head to Paris's Castro. That is a San Francisco reference, where Nick and Charlie finally hold hands in public.
Yes, because this scene is a beautiful representation, example of why representation matters, because they're in a clearly gay part of town. Like,
they in the gayborhood.
They're in the gayborhood. And they see, like, there's, like, rainbow pennants everywhere. There's a gay couple walking by. There's brunch happening. Like, brunch. Gayest stuff possible. No, it is. Like, look at them. There's mimosas on that table. They're having brunch. Like, brunch is happening. So they're basically surrounded by people like them. And so it just signals to them that this is a safe place, and they just act gay. Like, they hold hands. There's no need to, like, the pressure of, like, I need to come out to people and explain myself is all, like, gone immediately, because we only do that for not gay people. So, like, it's just, like, I can just be myself here, and I don't have to worry about all the stuff that's been stressing me out. We can just be us. And so it's really beautiful, and they both mutually, like, there's no words are spoken. They're just like, oh, we can hold hands here, and it's totally fine. And it's just, it's a very cute moment. And it's like, it shows the power of, like, representation in safe spaces. So I like this scene a lot.
But it's a short day out in Paris today.
Sure is. Gotta get to the birthday.
Yeah, because it's a huge day.
This is a hotel day. Like, this is a big hotel day, actually, now that I'm thinking about this episode.
I mean, it's a hotel episode, but I feel like it is in the evening. We just see it a lot later.
Oh, no, totally. But, like, it starts with hotel shenanigans, and then there's, like, we're out in Paris for, like, a hot second. Let's go back to the hotel. Most of this episode takes place
in hotel. We saw a lot of Paris yesterday, which was exactly. Actually England, but we don't know that.
It doesn't matter. Movie magic.
But before Tara's birthday bash, chicken gnarly.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Oh my God. Nick and Charlie spend some time alone together.
They do. Because, like, Isaac and Tao, well, they're all in the room. The boys are getting ready to go to the girls' room because Darcy is hosting the party. In the books, like, it's, like, commented on multiple times that, like, the girls have, like, this giant suite that's really big. So the party's being hosted there. It's not, like, commented on the movie or the show, but that is what's happening. So the boys are getting ready. And then Tao tells Charlie, he's like, hey, if you want, like, privacy with Nick, just say so. Which was a huge 180 from Tao being like, I made sure you guys couldn't share a bed because I thought it'd be awkward for you. Now that Tao has a girlfriend, he's like, I get it. If you want to share beds, you want to do stuff, you do whatever you want. So Tao's clearly in a better place, and he's like, I get it now, Charlie, I get it.
Tao's like, everybody could be in love now.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, Isaac wants to sleep in his books by himself, like, that's fine. Like, whatever, everybody do what they want to do. So it's really cute. So Tao's the one who's like, Isaac, let's go, to, like, give them privacy.
And Nick and Charlie haven't kissed in, like, 2 days. And so Charlie is getting really antsy.
Of course he is. So Charlie goes to, like, get ready. He's, like, in the mirror, like, fixing his, like, hair. And Nick just is the cutest person in the world, because he goes behind Charlie and, like, he's, like, bugging him. He's, like, being annoying, but in a cute way. He, like, takes his fingers and he, like, pushes Charlie's, like, lips up so he's smiling while he's doing this. It's so cute. And then he, like, hugs Charlie because he needs to recharge. And it's so tooth-rottingly cute, I need to make a dentist appointment because of this fucking scene.
What does Charlie do?
So Charlie, of course, okay, so Charlie, like, this is all Charlie wants, because there's no spotlight, there's no nothing, it's just them being cute and happy together. So Charlie quietly suggests they just stay in the room by themselves. And Nick plays along for all of 3 seconds before he takes Charlie to the party. And part of me feels like this was an honest moment for Charlie. Like, he must have been having perhaps, like, pre-social anxiety and wanted to stay out of any kind of crowds, you know? And, like, this, like, meaning, like, he suggests this because this is what Charlie actually wants. But ultimately, I think he goes with Nick because, number one, that's what Nick wants. And Charlie will always put other people's feelings before him. And number two, it is his friend's birthday and he is genuinely a good friend. But I think Charlie really just didn't want to be in a crowd. And with all the kids that don't know the rat, they're out. And he just wants to, you know, he just wants to be with Nick and be free to be himself. And same for Nick. So
I gotta say, being in a hotel room alone with someone you love or going to a party with a bunch of teenagers.
Exactly.
I would rather be alone.
Right, exactly. And I think that's genuinely, Charlie's like kind of a hermit. I think he genuinely wants that. So, because, you know, we get rare moments of Charlie being honest about his feelings. I think this was one of them.
But I think we need to address something.
What do we need to address?
So when they show up to the party, you can hear the music in the room. Okay? So they go in and then they're like, shh, Tara's coming.
Oh my God.
And the music is still playing. And they turn off the lights, I think?
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Okay.
No, they don't.
But, like, she has to know off. That something is happening.
I know. Does, like, Darcy normally hang out by herself with loud music?
And also, where did they send her while they set that
Maybe they went
up
to a vending machine.
But, like, everybody's in there. Everyone looks like they've been there for a little while now.
And, like, Tara already has a crown on. Like, it's weird. I'm like, yeah, what were they doing with her?
Because Darcy's
she came to the
in
hotel?
The room, not with Correct. Tara. Who was Tara
yeah,
with?
And it's,
do you remember?
No, she's with Elle and I think, and Elle for sure. I can't remember if Sahar okay. and Imogen was with her, but definitely Elle.
All right. Okay. Elle's probably like.
So someone was distracting Tara. What were they doing as the distraction is the question.
They probably went to get crepes.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they left the hotel because it's Paris. You can walk places,
mm-hmm.
even though they probably weren't allowed to. She's like, it's my birthday. I do whatever I want. So they probably went somewhere and came back, I think.
So when everyone surprises Tara with a party in her room, Tara looks happy at first, but it doesn't really seem like she wants a really big party. She just wants to talk to Darcy.
So I think that's part of it, but I think the bigger issue is what Darcy actually has planned for the party, and not the party itself. Because Tara's demeanor changes when Darcy whips out the vodka bottle. And as we see the whole night, like, the alcohol, it distracts Darcy the whole night, and Darcy doesn't really hang out with Tara. So I think that's the thing that was, like, great. Like, we're not going to hang out together during this night. You're going to, like, be distracted by this alcohol. I think that's what she was really upset about. And I wonder, like, it's not uncommon for, like, teenagers on a trip to do something like this. But I wonder if this was Darcy's quote unquote big plan because she learned this behavior from her parents. Like, we don't know a lot about them, but I wonder if they're the type that are like miserable people, but they're happy drunks, like they're alcoholics maybe. And so I wonder if she like associates being happy with this drink. And so I think to me that would explain why she drinks so much in this party. Cause like, maybe she's like, I, you know, I want to be happy. I want to be open with my feelings like my parents are when they drink, and like maybe that's why she did it to like, I don't know, and just it did not work out, obviously.
Maybe she's only loved when her parents drink.
Right, exactly. So I wonder if like that was her thought process other than just like it's a party, let's drink. I think she associates it maybe with happy people, happiness, and like that's how we got here because she's distracted by it the whole night. Side note, can we talk about how gay Darcy looks at this party? She's got her like her rainbow I Love Paris hoodie on. She's got these like maroon shorts. Her hair, I don't understand this hair. It's like one of those like cone like birthday hats on one side of her head. Then the other side of her head is like a this weird top bun in like a rainbow scrunchie. Oh, I thought
they were both hats.
No, one, it's just a scrunchie with her hair in a knot that like so it looks like she has two horns. Like, it's the gayest. I just love it. I guess she was super gay for Tara for her birthday. She gave her that.
But now that Elle has fulfilled her duties of getting Tara to the party, Tao and Elle sneak off to kiss in the bathroom, but of course they don't lock it. And they get interrupted by Charlie.
To be fair, though, they did choose the one and only bathroom to do this in. So they were going to get interrupted regardless. Maybe not door opening if they locked it, but, like, people were going to interrupt them. So this was poor choice. They should have gone to the closet.
But they just... Do they not teach you how to lock doors in school there?
Oh, I wonder if they're children who don't normally lock their doors, like, in their own rooms, maybe they just...
I don't lock the bathroom door at home, but I lock it when I'm out.
Yeah, but maybe they're just like not, they're not thinking clearly. They're just like, kiss.
Okay, to be fair, that's not always true either. Alright, fine. Anyway, Isaac is awkwardly sitting by himself reading a book while people kiss around him. And he looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're just like, they're literally sharing the bed with him and like behind him, and he's like,
he was probably there first too with his book.
I would imagine
he's just like
in front of my book.
Do you have to do this right next to me? Like, why can't people just like stay, like, it's a party, it's in a hotel room, okay? You cannot kiss each other for 5 minutes.
Yep, it's weird, but you know, here we are. Poor Isaac. Understandable.
And then misery washes over everybody, and he shows up. Ben shows up.
He does.
And who invited him anyway?
I don't know.
He probably heard the music and was just like, oh, I'll go check it out.
I don't know. I feel like, I honestly feel like nobody knows about the Ben-Charlie situation except for, like, Nick, Tao, Isaac. Maybe Elle. I don't know. Because I feel like Darcy put this together, and I don't think Darcy really knows about Ben. And they're just like, everybody on the trip that's not a homophobe can come. And I don't think they know about Ben.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's the issue.
But the thing is, he treated Imogen terribly. I feel like that should be enough to kick him out.
I would think so. But maybe it slipped Darcy. Because I feel like Darcy did the invite list, and that just slipped her brain. Maybe.
Or maybe she just
also, like, I don't think Imogen, I think Imogen is over Ben, and she's like, whatever, Sahar's here. I don't think she cares, truly.
Sahar's here.
Yeah. I don't think she cares. But anyway, the bad part about Ben showing up is he makes eyes with Charlie across the room, and, like, right on cue, dark thoughts for Charlie, and, like, Nick notices, and is like, damn.
Nick notices a lot about Charlie.
He does. But, like, oh man, maybe we should have stayed in the room. You know?
Yeah, that definitely would have been a better idea.
Yeah. And so after the people were making out, three inches away from Isaac, Isaac's like, enough. And
I feel like not even.
I know. And he leaves to go out in the hall. And you know that he's truly upset because when he's in the hallway, he's got his book and he starts like flipping through the pages, but then he like sighs and puts the book down. That's how you know he's truly troubled, because he puts the book down, which never happens.
Poor buddy.
I know. He's deep in his thoughts and feels too.
But someone is concerned about Isaac, and James goes to find him. Because he doesn't want to be around everyone, since they will just tease him. James doesn't want to be around everyone because they will tease James about the hickey that is on... No, I don't even... Do we still see the hickey on Charlie?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, but everyone's still teasing him about it because of course they are. And James gets a little confident in this moment. And he reveals that he has a crush on someone. And Isaac is just like, is it me? And James says yes. And aww. James decides he's going to kiss Isaac. But I said he pulls away, and that doesn't really help me. I think Isaac pulls away.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, poor Isaac is just trying to figure stuff out, and he just quickly leaves. Like, he's like, this is a lot right now. And they get sad falling leaves as James sits there wondering if he made a huge mistake. Because, I mean, that's not the reaction you kind of want.
No. But, okay, what's sad about the freak out part is that James is like... He says, was the kiss bad? Because I've never kissed anyone before. So it's really sad for James because this is his first kiss. So he's first of all, he's getting all this heat for kissing Charlie and giving him a hickey, which because they're both gay and everyone's like, well, it must be you, obviously. And James is like, no. And like the sad part of it is like, James has never kissed anybody ever. And like, this is his first kiss. So to have it go poorly is really sad for James. Understandable for Isaac, because Isaac's trying to figure his shit out. But, like, poor James. Put yourself in James' shoes. Like, it's pretty rough. Isaac, on the other hand, like, is not just, like... So it could come off to James as, in a way, like, of being like, oh, Isaac was experimenting with me or whatever. I think Isaac really was trying to explore, do I have a crush on James? Because... He's the one that had the courage to ask James, is it me? And it was like, there was a good 2 second pauses between James hinting pretty heavily. He's like, well, I do have a crush on someone. And like, Isaac thinks about it and he's like, oh, so he could have just let it go. Like if he was like, I don't know. I don't want to do this, but he clearly was really trying. He's like, okay, is it me? And then James is like, yeah. And then when James kisses him first, Isaac kisses him back. So there's two kisses that happens here. So it's not just like one and then Isaac's like, no. He like genuinely tries. He's like, let me kiss you again to see maybe the second kiss I'll feel something. So like, I think Isaac really did his best to try and then nothing worked. And I think that's what freaked Isaac out because he's like, wow, I really did try and nothing. What is wrong with me? And so he just kind of leaves without an explanation. So it's heartbreaking on both of their ends because I think they both really did give it a good try here. It was not meant to be. And with the leaves, at first I thought they were sad leaves because like you see a sad leaf falling when Isaac leaves like in front of James, but then when we cut to the next scene, Isaac goes back to the party and the sad leaves kind of like follow him into the girls' room where everyone's partying and being all coupley and stuff, and Isaac's just watching this and he starts crying. Like he's really like accepting his reality, because you're the one that said that like the falling leaves are like when they're being themselves. So I wonder if these leaves here are just Isaac like accepting he's different when it comes to like romantic feelings, like aside from like literally everybody else in this room who's just making out on beds, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I think the leaves are sad for James, but I think for Isaac it's more
the
like
leaves are really rooting for the two.
The leaves are like, damn, because they're like falling too, like sad falling leaves. But I think that for Isaac, it's more so this is who he's coming to terms with who he is in an honest way. Because like he honestly really did try with James to be like, is there something here? And there just isn't. And I think he's accepting it when he's in the room, like crying, like having an honest moment. I think that's why he's got the leaves.
Okay, well, if you said his, I thought he was just still like reeling from the kiss and like very confused.
I think he is, but like I think he's accepting that like he's different because like he tries. He goes along with James's hints. He kisses him twice. I think he really does try. And he's just like, wow, I'm just different. So I think he's just accepting that he's different here. I don't think he knows what it means. He doesn't have the language for it. But like, I think Isaac is accepting that he's different. I think that's what he's accepting.
Isaac, you're amazing. I love you.
I love him. I love his journey. Ugh.
Is he still your favorite?
He's definitely my favorite. I do love Isaac a lot. I love everybody in the show, but I particularly love him.
I see it. But while all this is happening, Charlie and Nick are sitting outside the window together. And Nick is staring at Charlie longingly until Darcy interrupts them with the alcohol.
Yeah, because Nick and Charlie, of course, they keep escaping parties to just hang out with each other. So, like, why even go to the party? Like, Nick, you guys should just stay in your room.
I mean,
but I love Darcy.
They could have showed up and then just, like, went back to the room 10 minutes
Yeah, no,
later.
Totally. That's basically what they're doing. They're just on a balcony. But I love Darcy's interruption because she's like, sorry to interrupt your very obvious flirting, but it's alcohol time. Because, like, it was very obvious flirting. Like, let's be real. And I love that she's constantly calling them out for being gay, and I just love it. And this is where I'm getting my thoughts about Darcy and the alcohol. Because, like, she's just the enabler all night to everybody. Like, you constantly see her just passing around the alcohol. You do not see her with Tara at all during Tara's birthday. Which I think Tara kind of figured out early in why she was upset. But here, Darcy, like, pours a heavy-handed pour of whatever this alcohol is. So much that it was almost overflowing Charlie's cup. But I love this moment of the two of them trying alcohol for the first time. Because, like, you know that whatever she bought was not, like, top-quality alcohol. It's probably just, like, gross. More gross than normal alcohol. So, like, when they're trying it, they're just like, this is gross. Like, I thought it was really cute.
Why do people drink this shit?
Right, yeah. Because it's disgusting, really, but, like, people like the feeling, not necessarily the drink. But, yeah, you know the stuff is not good to begin with, and this is their... I like that they're experiencing it together. I think that's really cute.
That's what I do with coffee. I don't care really about drinking it. I just want this to stay awake.
Coffee's delicious.
Yeah, I like coffee-flavored foods.
Me too.
So, then misery wasn't enough at this party.
No.
However, I'm not as hateful towards Harry. But Harry tries to come in, and Tara tells him he isn't allowed because homophobes aren't allowed. Have they not noticed that Ben is there? But we have already addressed.
I don't think the girls all know about Ben is what's happening there. Also, Ben is, like, really quiet and doesn't talk to anybody. He just kind of sneaks in, so maybe they don't see him also.
He's like, I just want free food.
He's just quietly drinking. He's, like, sulking. Like, if you watch him throughout the party, he's just, like, Darcy's obviously just doesn't care. She's like, woo, booze, and she gave it to everybody. I think he's just getting drunk in the corner by himself with his feelings. I think that's what
While
he's
just
doing.
Trying to keep an eye on Charlie.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he's doing. He's just sulking.
And Harry actually apologizes for the things he said in the past. It doesn't, like, fully feel authentic and real.
Yep.
But he thinks to apologize, which is more than some people. And Charlie is like, no, you're not allowed in. And it's showing that Charlie's learning to stick up for himself.
Yeah, this was a big moment for Charlie in the books. Like, the scene is pretty much the same. Where Charlie just, like, tells him off and, like, Charlie's getting to a point where he's, like, saying things that he feels. And I think part of this is directed at Harry and part of it's directed at what he wants to say to Ben in this moment. But I think that I agree with you. I don't think Harry is trying to be disingenuous. I think it comes off as disingenuous because he only offers to apologize when it's clear Tara won't let him in the party. He's like, well, can I come in? And they're like, no. And then he's like, well, okay, fine. Can I talk to Charlie and Nick? Because, like, those are the people I offended. I'll do it publicly. He's doing this publicly versus, like, he could have gone to them privately at any time and apologized to them for the the movie theater incident. Because, like, how long? It's been months since that movie theater incident. Like, he had so many he had so much time to apologize, and he chose this moment when he needed to apologize then to get into a party to, like, do it. So I think it comes off as disingenuous, because it kind of is. But I don't think that Harry has... I mean, I know what happens to Harry, but I don't think he has, like, malicious intent.
I think he's probably thinking about apologizing, and it was probably, like, on his mind quite a bit.
I don't know about that. I think that Harry is just very dense, and it takes longer for things to, like, sink in with him. And so I think for him, he needs to be, like, humiliated a little bit at this party for him to be like, okay, I have, like, to learn right from wrong. He needs to, like, experience, like, real consequences. Because, like, if he loses Nick as a friend, he's like, whatever, I have other friends. But, like, here, like, all the friends are being like, no. So I think that, like, it takes Harry longer to, like, do the right thing. Because he's just dense. Like, he needs, like, a smack on the face to, like, be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I need to be better. But he's somebody capable of change. It just takes a lot to get him to change, is my point. So he's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons in this scene. But I don't, he's not malicious like Ben can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
with Harry gone.
Yeah, now that Harry was not
allowed in. I'm glad he wasn't there.
Oh my god. Oh god.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's bad enough Ben was there, but I mean, it's like okay that Ben's there because he knows everything already.
I know.
But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite game. Spin the bottle, truth or dare, because apparently that's a thing.
I know. I was like, is that a game?
Those are two different games in America, I know. At least.
Sure.
But they kind of end up the same way, to be honest.
I know, it does.
And all the secrets come out. Isaac is flustered because... Oh, okay. So, let me... All right. So, one of the first things is Isaac... I guess picks truth when the bottle lands on him, and they ask, who's your first celebrity crush? And this poor dude, like, poor Isaac is just like, I don't have any celebrity crushes. And everyone's like, everyone has a celebrity crush.
Not everyone. It's Imogen, the bad ally, who's like, what do you mean everybody has a celebrity crush? It's like, Imogen, read the room, girl.
Terrible ally.
I know.
You're an ally to a bisexual named Sar.
He's an ally to no one in this moment. Yeah, like, it's sad that nobody can read how uncomfortable Isaac is with this.
She needs to be an ally to herself and just get with this already.
We'll get there, don't worry. But, like, yeah, I hate that it's Imogen that does it. But it's not surprising.
And then from Isaac, we go to Sahar.
Yes, let's talk about this.
Yes. Okay, so... I don't really know. I forgot what prompted.
The question was.
But Sahar just starts talking about how Imogen got a boyfriend and stopped texting her. And then Imogen's like, that's not true. That was like, you stopped texting me. Oh, just kiss already.
Yes. But let's, what did they actually say? So Sahar says, Imogen got a boyfriend last year and stopped texting me. Okay. So how Sahar been harboring a crush on Imogen for over a year is my question.
No, since she met her.
Okay, because I always got this vibe from Sahar that she was like mad at Imogen for something, and it came off as like, you broke my heart and you don't even realize it energy, and like this confirms it for me, because it's not like they, because the way it's framed in this season, it's like they just met, but I'm pretty sure they've known each other for longer and have been texting, which is interesting because Imogen doesn't have a lot of friends. So
I wonder if they like were on like a group project or something, and then they're just like, let's keep texting, and then
they've been texting for over a year at this point. That's interesting. And when that gets spoken, there's this really funny shot of like Darcy and Tara, and like Tara is looking at Imogen like, girl, you don't fucked up. So I'm pretty sure she agrees with me that it's Imogen's fault.
Their faces. Darcy's just like, ooh.
They're like, this sounds gay.
Like, oh, who are we hanging out with?
Yeah, I wonder what was the question that she got asked though? Like, that led to like Sahar answering to be like, well, Imogen doesn't talk to me anymore. Like, what was the question? What did they ask
her? They probably, okay, so maybe Sahar and Imogen were like really close at one point. And, you know, Sahar is getting the feelings. And you know what? I feel like Imogen kind of felt it, but then he's like, boyfriend, 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 and got a boyfriend. And so someone probably asked, like, why aren't you and Imogen close anymore?
So yeah, that might have been the question.
Then they spin the bottle again. And this time it feels like actual spin the bottle.
Yeah, for real.
So I think they dare Tao to kiss Charlie. And Tao does it because he is secure.
He doesn't just do it, though. He, like, plays it all up. And he's like, Charlie. And he, like, purrs and, like, crawls over. Like, Tao is doing the best job of being a good BFF. And he's doing his best to deflect those rumors. I love
it. Tao's like, let them think the hickey was me.
Like, yes.
And then, again, because we've already did the kissing thing, when it lands on Charlie, Charlie is dared to kiss James. And I feel bad for James, though. Because,
me too. Oh, he's clearly heartbroken at this moment. Like, he just got rejected.
That, but also when you're, like, teasing someone and, like, wanting them to kiss someone, like, it's also affecting the other person. And then, yeah, for some reason, they're like, okay, fine, don't kiss James. Kiss Ben.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
That's so random.
So weird.
You know, someone was like, okay, Ben does not stop staring at Charlie.
Right. Yeah, no, this person that was doing the question, the grilling of Charlie, was clearly really perceptive of, like, everything and was just like, I want gay shit to happen. That's all I want. Kiss Ben.
Be like, all right, so there's some things I'm trying to figure out, so can you two kiss?
Yeah, for real. Like, is that what this is all about? It was, like, really, they just wanted gay shit to happen, this person.
You're at a lesbian's birthday party. It's
that is true.
It's gay.
That is true. Let's make this gayer. Which, like, I get it. That's fine. But, like, please stop trying to out people.
Yeah. Charlie refuses both times, and Ben starts freaking out. Because, honestly, I would, too, if I were him. Like, just in general, like, why is... He has to be like, why am I being told to kiss him? Like, why are they choosing me out of everyone in the room?
There's that. And Charlie's reaction is like, fuck no, absolutely not. So I think Ben is just like, because in his brain, he's like, I can get Charlie back. I can get Charlie back. So, like, there's that. And then plus now he's on display in front of everybody. And he's like, yeah, why are you picking me? Like, did Charlie say something? Did Nick say something? Like, I think he's just, like, freaking out for a lot of reasons.
And because of that freak out, he just leaves and says that the game is stupid.
Because he sure does. But, like, I think he's telling on himself by leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because he overreacts to this nothing. Because Charlie already refused to do it. So it wasn't going to happen. And then his reaction is not appropriate. Is not, like, it's too much for that situation. So I think he's telling on himself. So that was a bad move.
He had a huge reaction.
He sure did. And then when he's leaving, he, like, his knee, like, pushes Nick, which is rude. So, of course, he can't just leave. He has to, like, abuse Nick while he's leaving. And the whole thing puts Charlie back in his, like, bad feels place. Like, he's looking down. And he's doing that shrinking in on himself thing. So this was all bad. Like, thank you, Inquisitor, for this bullshit that you just put us all through.
But this does not end yet.
No, it doesn't.
Because that was a dare.
You're right.
So
what's the truth, Caitlin?
The truth is that Charlie asked for a truth instead. And the person who dared them to do gay shit before asked who gave Charlie the hickey, which everyone says is wrong to ask. And you hear someone's like, you could out somebody.
Yeah, I think it was L. But yeah, it's for real. Like, if it wasn't James, the only out person on the trip, and it happened on the trip, you're asking Charlie to out somebody in this game. That is what you're asking, which is fucked up.
Nick, however, gets some confidence and tells everyone that it was him, and they have been going out for a few months. Like, go, Nick. That was huge for him.
I think he's just like, enough. Like, enough of this. Okay. And I asked, okay, so before Nick, like, says, he's like, I know who did it. And then everyone's like, ooh, did it. he grabs Charlie's hand before he says anything. And there's two, there's a medium shot of like the two of them holding hands. And there's two girls sitting next to them. And their faces, the two girls, before Nick says anything, when he grabs Charlie's hands, they're like, oh my God, like before he even says anything. So it's shout out to those two girls. Like they also wanted more gay stuff to happen in this party. So I love them. Their reaction is just precious before he even says it. And then after he comes out, James is the one who says or asks, do you want us to keep it a secret? Which is really cute and considerate, but also like sad that we live in a world where that's even a question about this.
Yeah.
So that was really cute. Cause like to me, James is basically saying like, hey, this is a safe space. Thanks for telling us. But like, if you want us to keep it a secret, we will, which how there's like 30 people in that room, that would never work. But that was really cute. And Nick says like, we're okay with people knowing, which is so cute. But then, Darcy says, I hate to ruin this lovely moment, but I'm about to be sick. Because, of course, this is where it ends, because Darcy's been aggressively drinking the whole night.
So since Darcy is about to throw up, they run to the teachers, where she throws up on their bed, instead of the bathroom that was in their room.
Okay, there are many things about this whole thing that are ridiculous. That one is ridiculous. The second thing that's even more ridiculous is the fact that she made it all the way to their room without throwing up. Because how? If it is time to vomit, like, there's no stopping it. You're going to throw up. Like, how did she make it from her room to the teacher's room without throwing up?
Okay, so...
like, how?
There's a warning. There is, like, somewhat of a warning. You can feel it.
Not when you're drunk. When you're drunk, like, I've never thrown up. Like, it's... there's not... that she wouldn't have made it to their room. That was crazy. And, like, made it to their room, then they're sitting on the... like, a lot of time elapsed before she actually throws up. Which... also, like, why were they going... this was also stupid. Like, why were you going to the teacher's room? Like, obviously she drank too much. What were the teachers going to do? Just go to the bathroom and throw up in your room and end the party. Like, why are you going to the teachers? They can't do anything for you. That was also stupid. Like, a lot of this was just dumb.
I mean, no one was thinking at that point. A lot's gone down.
Go to Google, drinking, throwing up. Be like, oh, just go to the bathroom. Like, there's nothing they can do to help you. Like, you're just going to throw up.
Well, at least now Nick and Charlie can be in their room alone.
I mean, they got to get there first. Yeah. How do they get there, Caitlin? I love the scene.
They walk back, but actually, they're unbelievably happy that Nick is out.
Yes,
but
both of them.
One person's walking. The other person, okay. So Nick's walking. Charlie, however, is getting a piggyback ride from Nick.
Oh, okay. Yes, cute. But this was not Charlie's idea. They're walking. Then Nick just picks up Charlie by like his ankles and starts carrying him. This is all Nick's idea. And then Charlie's like, what the hell? What are you doing? And he like, this is really actually pretty neat. While he's like holding him, he like shimmies Charlie so he could get in a piggyback position. This was all Nick's fault. Like they were just walking and then Nick's like,
well, Nick is just
you.
So happy and excited. I know, oh,
but
man.
Like it's cute, and then he's like, "Charlie, where's our room? Point it out." And it's, why are they like this? Why are they like this? Why? It was just very cute.
Oh, Nick, if you don't know where your room is by this point,
he's just playing with him. It's just adorable.
So Nick asked Charlie if everyone at school is gonna know, and Charlie's like, "Probably." And Nick, with his newfound confidence in his sexuality and with Charlie as his boyfriend, Nick says he thinks he's all right with that and they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that Charlie is just super proud of Nick, and I imagine relieved that Nick got a good reaction from everybody. And I think that also helps boost Nick's confidence here too. Like, the reaction was genuine and great, and then everyone's like, do you want us to keep it a secret? Like, what do you want us to do? So it is a win.
Okay, and now Nick and Charlie get the room to themselves, since Tao and Isaac are sleeping in the girls' rooms, which I still don't totally understand.
I don't fully understand this either, but sure.
Because, like, I get Tao wanting to sleep in there, but why is
correct.
Isaac
I don't there? Know. I don't know.
Maybe Isaac and Tara had, like, a heart-to-heart, since Tara was, like, you know, bringing.
Maybe they were along. Maybe like part of the party was like a slumber party for their friends. Like maybe they were all those people sleeping in that room. No, no, no. Like the close friends, and maybe they were all supposed to stay in there, but Nick and Charlie were just like, bye.
Nick and Charlie's like, there is an empty room.
Right. Correct. So, okay, and so we learned something very important in this scene, in which, okay, so they're basically, like, they're in the room together, and then Charlie's like, well, we have the room, and then he goes and plops down on Nick's bed, and he's like, how about we share a bed now, because we can, and we learned something very important, which is that Nick has a side of the bed, the left, and the problem is that Charlie is now occupying the left side of the bed, so how do we solve this? We play wrestle and pillow fight, of course, because that's what we do, which is cute and fun, but it ends in Nick ultimately regaining his side of the bed, but there's kisses first. And it kind of ends with them, like, calming down, and it's, like, Charlie sitting in Nick's lap, and then they start kissing, and it starts, like, heating up a bit, and Charlie gets hickey payback. And which lasts for, like, 2 seconds, but then Nick seems super uncomfortable by this, and Charlie stops. And I must say, their communication is spot on.
They're really good at communicating.
They're very good at it.
They have an honest... I don't know what this means.
You meant conversation.
Thank you! Theor is always the best in helping me translate. They have an honest conversation about sex and how they aren't ready, but Nick says he will be one day. And Charlie says that he would be too, but he only wants to do it if Nick does. And if Nick never wanted to, then that would be okay too.
Yeah, basically Charlie's like, I think Charlie does want to, but he's like, Nick, whatever you want, Nick. Like, I'm not going to force you to do anything. And Charlie's like, wow, that was really cheesy. And embarrassing. And they both admit that they are embarrassingly cute. And finally, because they are. But they agree that kissing is still okay.
And then they cuddle all night long.
It's cute. Their montage is really cute. At first they like, I think in the book they're like, let's stay up all night and just talk. And so there's scenes of them just like talking and giggling. And they keep changing sides of the bed and stuff like that. And then they eventually just like fall asleep. It's very cute.
Speaking of cuteness and cuddling. Oh my god.
This is my favorite scene in the episode, I have to admit.
We're going to head to the girls' room.
Yes.
Where Tao and Elle are laying in bed talking about art.
Okay. No, they're not. What they're really doing. Okay. So when the scene opens, Tao grabs Elle's glasses off the nightstand and he puts them on. And he's impersonating Elle. He's not talking about art. Oh. And he puts this voice on and he's like, hello. I'm Elle. I can draw art. He's impersonating her to her. And that's what they're doing. Like, what? I love Tao. Why is this happening? He's just trying to make her laugh. Like, that's what he's doing. It's very funny and cute.
Oh, that is very Tao.
Yeah.
But if you look in the next bed over, something interesting is happening.
What's happening?
Imogen and Sahar are in bed together cuddling.
They sure are. They sure are.
It's important to note that Imogen is the big spoon.
She is, which I didn't see coming, actually.
Gay.
10 out of 10. No notes on that.
And you can, it's like, she wants it. Like, it was all on Imogen, because... Sahar, we already know Sahar's bi, right? That scene already happened?
Okay, already know that.
Yeah, we're very far into the season. We filmed pretty spread out, so just trying to make sure. But oh, they're so adorable.
Yes, they are. Where's the theme where they wake up and Sahara's like, okay.
Just anyway, be like,
oh. I just love that scene. Because there's gay stuff in the background, and then whatever Tao is doing, Tao impersonating Elle is really funny to me. Where's Isaac? He's supposed to be in there too.
Oh, I see. Okay. Isaac. Okay, poor Isaac. Isaac is on the balcony, and this is when I first noticed that he didn't have his book. Like, his book is just beside him. And he's just thinking about everything that happened. Like, look at him.
I will also note that he has AirPods in. What's he listening to?
An audiobook.
Yeah, I think it's an audiobook. But he's pondering, or he's just listening to an audiobook. Get up. Like a sad one. Serious question, though. Okay, so in this, so there's two beds in this room. We have Sahara and Imogen in one bed. We have Tao and Elle in the other. Where are Tara and Darcy sleeping? Where's Isaac sleeping? It's Tara's birthday. Would she not get a bed? Where are they sleeping?
Hold on. How many people? So it's 2, 4, 6, 7. And there's supposed to be 9 people in that room.
I mean,
you know what? Okay. So what I think is that Sahara invited Imogen to stay because, like, they made up after the party.
And that was a drunken thing that happened that probably wasn't planned.
And since Nick and Charlie weren't there anymore, she's like, oh, well, there's room. You want to sleep in my bed? So Imogen got to stay.
And but, like, now there's Tara no and Darcy room. Are in that room, though. Where were they sleeping? It's Tara's birthday. Wouldn't you give Tara a bed? I think they're sleeping in the bathroom because of Darcy.
They're sleeping in the bathroom.
But, like, it just seems like poor planning. And just, like, where's Isaac staying?
On the balcony.
I know. I don't want that to be where he sleeps.
He's got a pillow out there.
Does he?
I don't know. What is he
sitting on? He's sitting on a pillow because it's probably uncomfortable.
I mean, it doesn't look great. It's nice that they have a balcony, though.
It sure is. I mean, it's cute and romantic and stuff, but, like, where was he going to sleep?
But speaking of Tara... Darcy in the bathroom. Still, I guess they transitioned to their bathroom now.
Yeah, this is their bathroom.
And Darcy is apologizing for ruining Tara's birthday. And Tara reassures her that she didn't.
Okay, so what Darcy says is, I wanted it, meaning the party, to be perfect for you. And then she says, I have to be perfect for you. So this is Darcy's like real feelings coming out here, because it's not really, she's upset. She's not really upset about the party. Darcy is upset at the fact that, like, she's not being honest with Tara, and she's afraid that Tara won't love her once she knows what her home life is really like and what she's like at home. And Tara says, Darcy, nobody is perfect. And I think that's what, so it's not really about the party, and, like, Tara gets that too. And I think that's what Darcy really wants to hear. Because I think in her mind, it kind of takes off that pressure of, like, this double life she's leading. And this gives her meaning Darcy, hope that, like, oh, I guess Tara maybe could love me or for who I am, like, fully kind of thing.
Darcy deserves so much more than her home life.
Yeah. It's a shitty situation.
Again, we don't actually know that yet, so.
But we don't know the full extent of it, period, though. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Darcy does end up telling Tara that she loves her, but Theora pointed out that she's drunk, so it's not as meaningful, but I was just proud of Darcy saying it no matter what.
I mean, Darcy acknowledges it. She's like, listen, I know that I'm drunk, and you might think I'm saying this just because I'm drunk, but I'm not. Like, I really do love you. But then Tara kisses her, and I'm like, girl, she's just been thrown up. Don't kiss her now.
It's true, no. Theora.
Like, gross. Yeah, Darcy says it. She's like, ew, I've just been sick. Like, meaning throwing up. But the shot of them, the whole moment is really cute. It's like, they're surrounded by balloons. It's really romantic lighting. And this would have been a great moment for a Taylor Swift song. I'm just saying.
Yes, I know, because you were waiting the entire... If you go on our Patreon... Their 206 reaction video is just literally Theora trying to figure out where Taylor Swift is.
She's not in the show, but there's a song that's for a Tara and Darcy scene. This would have been a good one. I'm just saying. Could have more than one Taylor Swift song.
But I think we've had a lot of the children. And we need to go back to the teachers a little bit.
Let's go.
This section... This next scene is called The Teachers Flirt Some More. The teachers agree to say that Darcy just had food poisoning, which, I mean, that's so nice of them.
Okay, so it's like, Nathan was the one that kind of wanted to let her off the hook, but he was like, Farouk has, up to this point, been the one who's, like, the stickler to the rules. That's why he, like, kicked Ben and Nick out of, like, study hall. He's like, you guys want to shut the fuck up? My rule is shut the fuck up, so get the fuck out. So I think Nathan was like, crap, he's gonna tell on her. Like, they're, because Nathan clearly, he's like, I've been a dumb teenager. I know where she's coming from. And Farouk has never been a dumb teenager. So, like, he's going to stick to the rules and kick, you know, tell her parents or whatever. But Farouk is the one who's like, I mean, I can't get mad at her for food poisoning. So, like, he acknowledges, like, fine, it's okay to be a dumb teenager. Like, I get it. So I think that, and Nathan was, like, kind of impressed by that.
I mean, I like seeing Farouk's softer side.
Of course. You like always seeing people's softer sides.
Did you say me?
Because Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're, it's just so sweet. But there's a conundrum. I think that's the right word to say.
There is a conundrum.
Because, you know, earlier Darcy... I don't know why it took this long to do something about it.
They still don't... Okay, by the end of the scene, they still don't do anything about the vomit on the bed. Like,
yes, so
why have we not dealt with it?
There's one bed out of commission because of throw-up. And I don't know how many hours it's been. It had to... It's been a while.
It's been a while. There are, like, the girls are, like, there's people are asleep in their room. And, like, they're in the bath. It's been some time.
Nathan is like, thank you for looking up his name. So we can stop calling him art teacher. Nathan is like, we should call down for some new sheets. Because, yeah. Also, doesn't it smell? And Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Farouk's like, they can just, says that they can just share his bed instead of getting new sheets since Darcy threw up on the bed. Okay, but, like, it's still gonna smell. Like, at least take the sheets off.
Okay, that's my point. Okay, first of all, this scene should be called And There Was Only One Bed, the Teacher Edition, because that's what's happening too. But yeah, like, the sheets with vomit on it are, like, 2 feet away from where they're going to sleep. Like, just get rid of it. Like, throw it in a corner, put it in the bathroom.
You're still, like, allowed to sleep together.
Right, yeah. Like, go for the one bed situation. But, like, the sheets are still there. Please get rid of, put them on the balcony. Do something.
Well, I guess the throw-up does prompt the next thing, though. They finally kiss!
They do.
And love it's wins. It's
cute. It does. All right, so after Love Wins, we leave the City of Love, and we're on the bus back to England, and we get a couple of, like, panning shots of, like, everybody the day after, and the first part is Elle and Tao, and Elle asks Tao what his favorite moment in Paris was, and he says, the Louvre, which is so cute. So, like, he's like, our first kiss was my favorite part. That's so cute. I love them.
I mean, if you've been pining for so long after someone, yeah, that should be your favorite part.
Yeah, I just love that he says that. It's very cute. And sitting in front of them are Tara and Darcy, and Darcy has, like, her not like gray hoodie on, so, like, no color Darcy, so she's not in a good place. Hood's on, and, like, she's got her eyes closed, and, like, she's tilted towards the window away from Tara. So despite the drunken I love you, I think Darcy either doesn't remember the other day or, like, is having regrets or something. But, like, these two need to have a conversation like yesterday, like a real one, because the divide is getting greater between the two of them. Like, just looking at their potty language on this bus. I hate it.
And then Charlie sees the first comment on Instagram, because he's scrolling through his Instagram.
And while Nick is sleeping on his shoulder. Yes. Do not leave that out.
I feel, was everybody on this bus in that room? Because, I mean, let's be real. Nick and Charlie have been acting gay in public this whole time. So,
yeah, and on Instagram, Nick kept posting shit on Instagram the whole time they were there. So, like, people can put two and two together and be like, this is gay.
But the comment was asking if it is true that Nick and him are dating. And you see Charlie just look at Nick. Like, one, like, okay, people know now. But two, how do I respond to this? Like, is it okay?
Well, yeah, I think that's when the reality sinks in. So it's almost like Charlie panics when he reads that. But then he looks at Nick, who's, like, peacefully asleep. And he's like, all right, I'm not going to wake Nick up for this. Like, let Nick stay in his peaceful little bubble and not deal with reality. Because, like, the whole thing is Nick was like, oh, do you think everybody's going to know? And Charlie was like, probably. And then they're leaving, like, the fantasy land. They're leaving Paris, which was a trip where they were away from reality. Now they're entering reality, and it starts with this Instagram post with people who weren't on the trip being like, oh, are you guys dating? So, like, it's getting real, and I think Charlie's having a little bit of anxiety because he's, like, probably thinking, like, oh, now that it's real, will Nick have second thoughts? Will Nick not want to go through with this? Like, so I think that's what this is all about, and he's like, I'm not going to wake Nick up to find out. So he's just wrestling with those feelings, and then, like, the episode ends.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so truth or dare? Well, I guess truth. Did you like this episode, Caitlin?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm this not sorry to say that.
So many gay things happened in this episode. How do you not like it? Like, the teachers got together.
Yeah, it's so gay.
Imogen and Sahar.
Yeah, Imogen and Sahar. I mean,
Isaac figuring his stuff out wasn't happy, but, like, it's part of the journey, is not always happy. But he's getting there.
I feel like this episode should have been called, like, Revelations or something.
That would have been a good name for this. I agree.
Truth Awakening. Or Dare or Revelation.
That sounds like a really intense game. Oh my god.
I feel like reveal
and I'm not sorry secret. About it, which is the next episode. So
you said that joke, Theora.
Oh, damn you.
I just said
I
it
dare
to
you. To be sorry. No, I don't know. I dare you to give our listeners a word to spell.
Okay. So I have harder ones, but I don't know how to pronounce them yet. And it's not really fair if I pronounce them wrong and give it to you. So I think I know how to pronounce this one. So if you've made it this far in the episode, your challenge, 204, I believe. I triple dog dare
triple dog
you.
Dare you, guys. Yes.
To let us know in the comments how you spell the word gobbledygook.
Without looking it up.
Yes, you cannot look it up. I feel like I should be giving definitions and, like, word origins, like how they do in spelling bees. But, you know, this is what you get. And also, if you are not on YouTube or anything, try to, if you can figure out how to put gobbledygook in a review.
Oh my god. I feel like this episode was gobbledygook.
Actually,
don't say that.
Oh. Okay, so there is. Here's a description of it. Only intelligent people know that this word has a deep meaning for those who hear infants speak. What? It's also a term you use when watching a film in a language you don't know. That's like actually a definition, but
it means I can't the language that I'm hearing, I don't understand it. It's gobbledygook to me. That's what it means. So yeah, you can say that we taught you how to spell gobbledygook.
It's all gobbledygook when Theora and I try to figure out people's
five
names.
Stars. Yeah, when I pronounce names. Yeah, that's fair. All right. You have been dared, dear listener. We hope you enjoy it and you weren't sorry for listening to this. But next episode, we will be reviewing 207, which is called Sorry. So until next time.
It's too late now to say sorry.
No, it's not. Just hydrate for lesbian Jesus.
We will open with another sorry song next time. Please don't let me forget Theora.
Oh
that
my
wasn't
God.
The song I wanted to sing, but that's what came out of my mouth.
Put that in the comments too to remind Caitlin.
We've already filmed it though.
Shh, Caitlin.
Yes,
sign off.
No, tell us the gung. Okay, until next time.
Gobbledygook.
And gay it up all over the place.
Bye.
Bye.
And with that, we've been Big Gay Energy. If you like this episode, check out all our other episodes right here on YouTube. Please like, leave a comment below, and subscribe for more amazing, super gay content.
If you'd like to support us, check out our merch store, or join our Patreon for early access to episodes, exclusive content, and so much more.
And with that, we've been Big Gay Energy. If you like this episode, check out all our other episodes on whatever you're using to listen right now. If you're listening on Apple, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review, no matter how brief. It helps us get into Apple's algorithm to reach a wider audience.
Please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear from you about everything and anything. You can find us on all the social medias at Big Gay Energy Pod. or email us at biggayenergypod@gmail.com. If you'd like to make friends with other queer media loving people, reach out to us to join our Discord server.
If you'd like to support us, check out our merch store or join our Patreon for early access to episodes, exclusive content, and so much more. Until next time, stay safe and hydrate for Lesbian Jesus.